This podcast is for general information only. It is not intended as a substitute for general healthcare services. If you have medical conditions, you need to see your doctor. Use of this information is at the user's own risk. Welcome to FitRx with Dr. Greg Dennis. Join me as we challenge the standard sick model of healthcare. This is your source for everything health, wellness, prevention, fitness, biohacking, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of FitRx. I'm your host, Dr. Greg Dennis, and very excited about today's topic. My guest is Megan Smith. She holds a master's degree in biology with a thesis in molecular genetics and currently works as a documentary filmmaker and a freelance journalist, which is kind of how I got connected with her. So she did made a film on alternative cancer therapy. I believe it is called A New Standard of Care, Alternative Cancer Therapy. And if you listen to this podcast, you know I'm always a fan of things a little bit outside the box, especially for things like cancer, which is so prevalent now. And it has hit me recently with a family member who was diagnosed with cancer. And so I've been doing my own research on alternative cancer therapies, and I've had a few podcasts here and there about some things. But I'm very interested just to hear what she's uncovered and what all she has to say. So Megan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I guess let's start. Tell us, I guess, a little bit more about you. And then, you know, just kind of how you came across, you know, wanting to learn more about cancer and then ended up making a whole documentary on it.
So my journey in this field started in 2007 when I was diagnosed with chronic Lyme disease, and modern medicine didn't believe that I really had it. They said it didn't exist in Virginia, which is a bunch of malarkey. And I got very sick. And finally, a year and a half later, Johns Hopkins said, yeah, you have Lyme disease. You're just not testing positive for it because those tests are very inaccurate. And so at the same time, a friend of mine, my acupuncturist, had a squamous cell develop on his leg that was like the size of a half dollar. And he'd had one previously. And he said, I don't want to do this with conventional medicine. I want to find an alternative. So we both landed on the Rife machine, R-I-F-E. It's a electric medicine machine. And we used that, and I got over my chronic Lyme and a bunch of co-infections, and he got over his squamous cell carcinoma. It just disappeared, and neither one of us was using anything else. You know, we watched our diets and all that and detox, but otherwise, that's all we used. And so I was like, wow, this is fantastic. Well, about a year later, my husband contracted lung cancer, and he, by the time they found it, he was already late stages, and he went into stage four pretty quickly, and I said, look, before you do radiation, why don't you just try this machine? What the heck? So he said, I'll try it and we'll see what happens. Well, his lungs were congested and they cleared up within 3 days. I said, Proctor, that tells me something's working with this machine. He just broke down. He never cries. And he said, I don't ask me to decide between this machine that I don't understand and conventional medicine. You know, so he wanted to follow the white coat. That was his. Yeah, I did everything I could to try and convince him otherwise, but he just went conventional. And after two rounds of five chemo cocktail, one had a platinum in it, a platinum-based drug, he was gone. So I stewed about that for about 6 years, and I saw Ty Bollinger's series. Somebody sent me that right about a year after Proctor died, and I went, wow, this is fantastic. And I said, it'd be great if they could just have that all that information in one film, like a one documentary film. I'd never done a documentary before, but I was a journalist and I had a master's and I had all the, you know, this other stuff. And I said, I just need a cameraman. So I grabbed a cameraman. We went on the road. 2 weeks later, we were in Europe with our little, you know, camera equipment I bought, and went all over Europe, went all over, came back, went all over the US, went all over Mexico. I was thinking that this whole journey was going to take me a year. It took me 8 years. I kept going down rabbit holes. You know, I'd talk to a doctor and they say, you have to go talk to this guy. And also I put out another film before that one. It was a spinoff of stuff I'd found about breast cancer screening. And so I have two films out now. The first one's called Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts. And that got picked up by a distributor. So anyway, yeah, so I've got 8 years later, I've got my second film out. And the act one is about what we're doing now with the standard of care, conventional medicine. Act two is what these alternatives are, basically what the doctors are using, the ones that I kind of felt comfortable with talking about. And the doctors and patient stories, stage four, reversing with nothing else other than these alternatives. And then the last act, act three, is about why we're not using them, which is really important to discuss. I felt like I had to put that in there because my friends were all saying, you know, Megan, just, you know, if they really had a cure, they would let us know. They wouldn't be holding it back from us. Why would they do that? So I went, okay, here we go. And it's like 4 hours and 45 minutes long, but it's free on YouTube right now, and take, you know, two nights out of your life, and you'll learn a lot. There's also storylines through it. My girlfriend, my husband's, my story, it's all in there. And I kept it as entertaining as possible and not just icky stuff about cancer.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about those three different parts. So the first part was traditional therapy. And I guess this is a little bit of a loaded question, but I mean, what's wrong with the traditional therapy? Why look elsewhere?
Right. So the radiation and chemotherapy, those two are, radiation especially, are largely carcinogenic. And what I found talking to these doctors is the only one that's, I mean, there's some blood cancers that you can cure with chemotherapy, and thyroid cancer, maybe with radiation. But otherwise, the solid tumors are not curable unless you catch it. Stage one is contained. It isn't, you know, it's not like leaking out these cells through the body, lymphatics and stuff. So you have to get it stage one, which is really hard. I mean, mammograms rarely pick up a stage one tumor. They're usually 2, 3, 4, according to radiologists I've talked to. So it's already spreading around your body. So they have to get it. Surgery can take a stage one out, but it's rare, I think, that that happens. And that's why it comes back, especially after these other treatments also.
I want to spend most of the time, I guess, on more of the second part, which is the alternative therapies that you kind of uncovered. And you did this over a long period of time. And so I'm sure you came out with a lot. You know, if you Google alternative cancer therapies, you're going to come up with all kinds of things. And so talk a little bit about what you found. And then I'd like to talk about maybe in your kind of mind and research that you did, which ones are the most important, and maybe, you know, what you advise people with all this information that you've found.
So people ask if there's a silver bullet out there. I would say there are a couple that I came across, but most of them are protocols that these doctors have come up with, the clinics and stuff. Sometimes US has outlawed a lot of these things, and the EU is actually starting to outlaw things also, like Laetril and the Rife machine. So you have to go to Mexico to use those things, but the Mexican clinics are also getting pressure, by the way. One clinic wouldn't talk to me because they said they were being watched. So it's really, big medicine's really coming down on this stuff. But the silver bullets, like if I had brain cancer, I would go to see Dr. Burzynski in Houston, Texas. He's a brilliant researcher and medical doctor out of Poland, and he came up with something called antineoplastins, and they are reversing, so, you know, glioblastoma brain cancer is the worst you can have, the most aggressive. He said he's reversing like 75% of those with these antineoplastins. So I would go to him. And it's expensive. He's expensive for sure. But
talk a little bit more about that, if you will. Exactly what are antineoplastins, or as far as, you know, what you've learned or what you know.
Right. So as he explains it in layman's terms, they're basically little peptides, which are little protein segments. And he found that people with cancers don't have these peptides. So when he put the protein peptides in people's bodies, the cancer would disappear. Hmm. And there's very little side effect, and if any. And I talked to people that had their brain cancers reverse, and FDA keeps going after them. and the Texas Medical Board, and they can't get rid of this guy because he's got 20, 30 patients standing up behind him that had glioblastoma 20 years ago. And so the medical doctor is like, we're not going to get rid of this guy. So that's kind of the long and short of it. And then he has some other therapies that are fallback therapies if that doesn't work. But yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah. And so antineoplastins. And so what are some other things that you learned about?
So the other silver bullet would be the great late Nick Gonzalez out of New York City investigated and came up with a protocol using pancreatic enzymes in large quantity and also coffee enemas, which sounds weird, but people swear by them. So that's to detox the body, the enema. But the pancreatic enzymes, boy, this is really kind of complicated, but how to explain this? They discovered that the baby will stop growing and divides and departs from the placenta at a certain time in the development of the baby. And it's when the pancreatic enzymes kick in, when those are being developed by the pancreas of the baby. So this brilliant dentist of all things came up with this concept. Well, I have pancreatic cancer. What if I take these enzymes? Will that slow down my cancer? And it did. So it's very strange, but it's complicated. That was probably a terrible explanation, but it's a lot of pills. It's 150 pills, but people, if you can get through that and you're disciplined, I've seen pancreatic cancers reverse and other cancers. But it's a difficult protocol, but it's, if you go to Gonzalez Protocol Gonzalez Foundation, you will find you'll find a doctor. They'll set you up with a doctor to talk to.
I'm going to go back on these antineoplastins. Do you know, is he the only one doing it down there? Are there other doctors doing this, and are they doing it for other types of cancers other than brain cancer?
Oh yes, he's doing it for all cancers. He actually chose to really go hone in on the hardest ones to cure so that people would believe him, which I thought was pretty brilliant. But no, there's no other doctor doing it. Only his clinic in Houston, Texas. And I don't think he should probably expand because the medicine would come down hard on him. If he, you know, he's got a cancer cure, they're going to come down on him. So he's smart just to stay in his little you know, mini area there and don't branch out.
Gotcha. Okay.
So the Gonzalez protocol, though, they're trying to get to, you know, pop up here and there around the United States. So they're working on that, I know. Then all the other doctors I met were doing protocols, and I called them corner blocks, the cornerstones of these protocols. Like all of them used high dose vitamin C IV. Mm-hmm. That's releasing an oxygen molecule into the bloodstream, which kills cancer. So cancer loves sugar and it hates oxygen. So those are the two concepts those are two of the big building blocks on a lot of these therapies are built on. So hyperbaric chamber, where they pump a lot of oxygen into your blood. And there's all kinds of things you can do to release oxygen. But so that's even just exercising, quite frankly. But that's the first thing they'll tell the patients that come in is change your diet. What are you eating? Stop eating McDonald's. Stop eating the processed sugars. You know, healthy living. There's tons of books out there, so I won't go too deep into it. But, you know, dark leafy greens and antioxidant kinds of foods. There's high fructose is terrible, but fructose is more readily taken up by the cancer cell than glucose. So fructose is the worst kind you can be eating. But any kind of sugar, you want to keep your glycemic index down, you know, in your blood sugar. That's really important. And then they'll take people through like dentistry, which who knew, but dentistry that, you know, of course they have the mercury fillings that we know are all bad for us now, but they also, if you have like a root canal and you have a root canal and it's got, they covered it up before and there was bacterium in the socket of the tooth or whatever, and they covered it up and it's just in there, bleh, you know, just continuing to bacterial, just fester. That will go drain down through the lymphatics, like breast cancer. One doctor said 95% of his breast cancer patients had a bad root canal. Mm. You get rid of the tooth or the chain, you know, fix the root canal and their breast cancers disappear. Mm. So, go to a good biodentist is what they recommended, and get your amalgam or get your mercury fillings taken out, replaced, and then I don't know what they do with the root canals, but just make sure that your mouth is as healthy as it can be. And I had no idea. I thought that was absolutely fascinating. Dentistry is a lot more complicated than we think it is. Then they had, like I said, B17 Laetril. As many of the clinics that can get their hands on it are going to use that, generally speaking, because that's going to slow down growth of a cancer cell. Over in India, they're using homeopathy to reverse things like brain cancer, all cancers, but even stuff like brain cancers, which is fantastic. That's not being, I don't think you can find that anywhere else but India. There's a thing called IPT, insulin potentiation therapy, which is a low dose chemo. And I know a lot of people want to stay away from chemo, and I understand why. I don't know that I would want to do this unless I absolutely had to, but they potentiate the cell by putting insulin. They drop your insulin and then they throw it in there, and then they chase it with a chemotherapy and the sugar molecule. So all of a sudden, the cancer cell that has a whole bunch of insulin receptors, it's got a lot more than a regular cell. All those the little op they open up the channels, and the insulin goes in, and right behind it is the sugar with the chemo. So it's a way to target the chemotherapy. So that allows the doctor to use like 5 to 40% of what originally would be used, which is 100%, right? So it's a lot less toxic to the patient. The patients aren't losing their hair. The side effects just almost go away completely. And so the chemotherapy, which was invented, can do the thing that was invented for. And I don't know if those are carcinogenic because they're still a chemotherapy. I don't know if they even know that, because that it hasn't really been studied extensively. Our government is kind of refusing to study it because it cuts down the amount of chemotherapy going into the patient. But I think that's fascinating. A lot of these doctors are using IPT with much success. Do you have any, should I take a breath here and let you ask
No,
questions?
you're good. Keep going. Really, my questions are, if you came across people, because one of the things I do at my own clinic, we also do some IV vitamin C. I mean, I don't treat a lot of cancer patients, but we do IV vitamin C. And then another thing that we do that I have read that's good for cancer is IV ozone therapy, which it does similar type things physiologically that, as the hyperbarics. But did you come across a lot of people doing IV ozone therapy?
They didn't mention it so much, but I'm sure that's probably part one of the things that they throw at people. I mean, why not, right? I know hyperbaric. I saw probably a lot of more hyperbaric than that. But that one of the things I did learn, and I wanted to talk about this, was an oncologist. He was a conventional trained oncologist. He went down to Mexico because he got fed up with them telling him that he was not doing continuous chemo, even though his patients were doing better. So he got out of that, went down to Mexico, worked with a clinic down there for a year, and he said the problem with chemotherapy and conventional is they're attacking the nucleus of the cell, the DNA. They're just blasting the cell apart, right? Unfortunately, that's blasting all the other good cells, the healthy cells. So he said what they should be looking at is the mitochondria, because cancer is a mitochondrial dysfunction. And all these doctors agreed with that I talked to. So, because it's a different metabolic cycle, cancer is very adapted to use the anaerobic cycle versus the aerobic. So that's why they don't like oxygen, because that's the aerobic cycle. So I thought that was fascinating. I didn't know that's what their philosophy was.
I'm wondering, did you interview Joe Tippins and the Tippins protocol using the fenbendazole? Are you familiar with him?
No, I didn't. No,
Yeah, he's got a fascinating story. I've had him on my podcast, but he had a very aggressive cancer, and I think he went down to MD Anderson, and they basically told him to go home and say his goodbyes, that he had like a couple of months to live. And he started taking this fenbendazole, and has a whole and basically his cancer was cured. And so now he has the Tippins protocol, which has really made it all over the world. And he has a lot of testimonials using that. So I didn't know if you'd come across him, but
Yeah, but that's fascinating. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah. I mean, check out my podcast, and he's on there, and he kind of tells his story, and it's pretty fascinating. But
Right.
okay, well, anything else that you discovered that are just kind of therapies that are out there, and typical things in some of these protocols?
Those are the big ones. I do want to say that people, some of these going to these clinics can be expensive, but there's stuff you can do on your own. I mean, Chris beat cancer, who's Chris Wark. He just changed his diet drastically. I mean, drastically. You have to be, really motivated and disciplined, but he did it. He chained himself to a blender and, reversed stage 3C cancer, and it was all through his body. It's not like the surgeon got all the cancer out. That's a fantastic story, and it just shows you are what you eat. Most of us are getting cancers because we are our air, our water, our food is all contaminated. And between that and also stress is a big one. Stress, I tell people, get the stress out of your life. Meditate, yoga, ballet, anything, gets you just like to, because we're all so stressed out after that pandemic we went through. There's all these cancers that are rearing their heads for probably a number of reasons, but one of them I think was the stress we went through. Stress does this thing where, as you probably know, if you're in the fight or flight too long, your cortisol levels go up and you don't want them to stay there very long because all of a sudden now all of your other hormones, it's like a cascade effect, it messes up all your hormones, which affect all of your organs. And then everything just goes crazy and your immune system goes down. That's the big one. And that's where your body now is not going to be able to take care of the little DNA strands that get broken and start turning into cancer. It's just not going to be able to do that. So that's a big one. So there are things you can do at home, and there's tons of books on how to eat right. And I think we need to all gird our loins because it just seems to be getting uglier and uglier. I have so many friends in stage 4 cancer right now. It's just brain cancer, pancreatic things. I'm like, what is going on? Just all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad. Did you run across anybody using some of the things, as I've researched? And of course, again, you can find all kind of stuff out there, but there's some people using really high doses of melatonin. Also, a lot of people recommend adding CBD. Did you come across that in some of these protocols?
I think they do not the melatonin, but see, I mean, I didn't hear about all the stuff that's out there, and I was basically just following kind of like what the majority of these clinics were doing that gave me stage 4 cancer patients that I could talk to, and what did they use? CBD, yeah, I think they do. Most of the clinics use CBD in some format. I know somebody that was swore by microdosing THC, so I thought that was interesting, but I didn't do a dive into it because I couldn't find a patient. I really tried to, look at the evidence, find it in the literature, talk to doctors and patients. And so, yeah, there's probably, people are saying, did you do this? I'm like, no, I didn't hear about that. Or I didn't do a deep dive on it. So.
No, there's, like I said, there's a ton of stuff out there. So, really what I tell people, and tell me if you agree, is number one, you got to take care of the foundational things. You kind of touched on that, and that is you got to radically change your diet. And so you can do that, decrease stress, start exercising, start fasting, allow your body to heal itself. I mean, those are all things that don't cost a lot of money. You don't have to go to, these expensive clinics to do. So that's kind of the foundational stuff. And then you can start to add all these other therapies. I mean, you've alluded to some. I mean, there's the IV vitamin C, things like hyperbarics, ozone therapy, the fenbendazole. I mean, the Tippens protocol. I mean, I like what he said. We're dealing with cancer. He's like, what do you have to lose? I mean, things like fenbendazole is cheap. Throw it in there. And you can do all these things with or without traditional therapy. So even if you're doing chemo and these other traditional therapy, still change your diet, do fasting, do all these other things. Again, like he said, we're dealing with cancer, so throw the kitchen sink at it. And so the more ways you can hit it, then I think the more success we're going to have.
Yeah, and actually, to that point, real quick, I know a lot of these my friends that have had cancer, their oncologists are telling them it's okay to eat sugar. Sugar does not feed cancer cells at a higher rate, they say. It's, I mean, literally, I looked it up in my biochemistry book in college. It was right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is proven by Otto Warburg back in the, you know, early 1900s. Yep. He got a Nobel Prize for it. It's what the PET scan is based on. And these oncologists are acting like, you know, it's, and I found a paper that ASCO, which is the American Society of Clinical Oncologists, at their annual meeting, they showed this paper. And it said, it took all of these college, research that said, we are finding that sugar does feed. In fact, Otto Warburg, you know, was correct and had a bunch of them. And they overturned them with statistics and said, this is all a bunch of malarkey. It does not feed it at a higher rate. And then you went down to the bottom of it and it said it was funded by Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And that just kind of tells you, you know, where, what's going on. If they're telling oncologists, it's okay for their cancer patients to eat sugar, you know, they say, well, we're afraid they're going to, you know, wither away and die. It's like, well, they're going to die at a higher rate if you're telling them to eat sugar.
Yeah.
And a lot of them just don't know this, which is really crazy.
Well, it is. And you could say that about a lot of chronic conditions. You know, patients come to see me who a lot of times want something different, and they've been to, you know, maybe they don't have cancer, but maybe they have a rheumatologic disease and they've been put, you know, on chemotherapeutic type agents, you know, for their autoimmune disease. And none of these specialists have ever mentioned, well, change your diet, you know, clean up your diet. And sometimes just that simple thing in and of itself can radically change their symptoms. And it's just amazing to me that it's never even a thought, a lot of these specialists, which I guess brings me to kind of the third part. And I'm sure my listeners probably know the answer to this if they've listened to my podcast at all, but why are we not hearing more about these therapies?
So unfortunately, big medicine, I mean, the bottom line, one of the big things driving it is patents. They can't patent it. If they can't patent it, big medicine doesn't want to promote it. If they find something that's natural, that's working, they'll take it into a laboratory, study it, try and figure out if they can synthesize it using chemicals or oil, petroleum-based chemicals. They'll twist a bond when they do that, if they can replicate it. And then the body doesn't recognize it the same way as the natural product. And now you got a side effect. So a lot of it goes back to patents. But you know, if you look at the medicine makes their money off of two things, vaccines and chemotherapy. Those are the two big ones. So they're going to do anything to keep the patients going down those roads at all costs. So chemotherapy, I don't think is ever going to go away. I mean, no time soon. And if anything, it's just everything's getting worse right now in medicine. I think they took full advantage during the pandemic, saying, this is all fake, you know, fake information and, you know, bad science and not listening to science. And you know, when in fact, they're the ones that are spewing this stuff like go eat sugar if you have cancer. So that's one of the problems. The other thing is when our government does find things like they actually have at National Cancer Institute, which I actually interviewed them and American Cancer Society. I was really lucky to get those two big interviews. National Cancer Institute, I went through all of the, this was their alternative medicine, you know, area of their, of NCI. And I said, I went through everything. And they said, yeah, we've heard about that. That doesn't work. We don't think, where's the studies, blah, blah, blah. That, you know, one by one, he just kind of took them all down. And then he came up with three that he called the best case series. That people could come in, doctors could say, hey, look, I have all these patients that are reversing their cancers. And so NCI would look at it. And if they thought that they had some good evidence, they would go and look at it further. Well, there were three things that they had that they thought were worth studying: macrobiotic diet, homeopathy over in India, and IPT, which is that low-dose chemotherapy. The IPT, they threw out because it was chemotherapy, it didn't belong in the alternative medicine area of NCI. They didn't study it anywhere else either. And they were seeing amazing results. And the homeopathy over in India, they said, well, we were going to conduct a trial over in India, but the Indian government gave us, you know, a hard time about something. And I was like, well, why didn't you just bring it back over in the U.S.? I mean, can't you bring the homeopathy over here? So they dropped that. I mean, that was reversing brain cancers. So they obviously don't want this stuff to succeed. I mean, there's just, if you look at my film, I just go through and I talk about how they talk about risk assessment incorrectly to doctors and relative risk versus absolute. And they mess up the statistics and they throw trials. And you got two of the top five medical journal editors saying things like 50% of the medical literature is fraudulent, and therefore you can't trust your doctor. I mean, medicine is built on the medical literature. So 50% is fraudulent. We have a problem. It's not evidence-based. It goes out the window. And so the doctors are just, what they're telling you is just a lot of times just flat out wrong.
So if somebody's listening to this and, you know, they're
getting depressed
dealing with cancer, what's that?
Getting depressed because I'm not saying anything positive.
Oh, no. But if they're dealing with cancer or they have a loved one dealing with cancer, which is probably almost everybody, as you've mentioned, cancer is so prevalent. And obviously, if they go to a traditional doctor, they're going to, you know, get the traditional therapy, chemo, radiation, whatever. Where do you tell people to start with what you've uncovered and over the last, you know, quite a few years? If people ask you, hey, where do I start? What would you say to them?
Yeah, unfortunately, people don't ask me that. They're like, "Oh, Megan, don't come at me with your." They just want to follow the code. But you know, I'm not a doctor. I have
sure.
to say that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would advise them to change their diet. Look at their lifestyle. Let's go through your lifestyle. What's going on? You can change that. You know, if you don't want to do conventional, then I can point you to some places in Mexico that I would trust. Depending on how much money they had too, but you know, it can start, like we've been talking about, by changing your lifestyle. You can start to feel better if you just look at, why did I get this in the first place? What, you know, get the stress out of your life and dentistry and all that stuff, you know, air, food, water, get that all cleaned up. Start there and then, you know, go to my film. It's a one-stop shop, you know, 5 hours of your time, two nights, you know, out of your life. You'll learn a lot. It's a good, you know, starting place. And then Ty Bollinger does an amazing job with talking to all the doctors and see who resonates with you and talk to them. And but, you know, even if you do conventional, integrate this other stuff, change your lifestyle. Because my friend who did beat the one, that I have three dear friends that died of breast cancer within 2 years. And the two that died right away didn't listen. They didn't do anything. You know, they didn't clean up their lifestyle. The one that did clean up her lifestyle lasted 17 years. I mean, before it came back. So she had it together. And she said as soon as she dropped that and stopped, you know, paying attention to her lifestyle, went back normal because she thought she'd beaten it for good, it came back. So you have to, it's a chronic disease. You have to stay up on top of it the rest of your life, unfortunately. It's a chronic disease.
Yeah. And so the film is called A New Standard of Care, Alternative Cancer Therapy. And you said they can watch it on YouTube. Any other way? Do you have a website or anything that people can find you?
If you plug in the name of my film, you won't find it on YouTube. I won't speculate why. But if you go to my website, anewstandardofcare.com, wherever, whatever platform it's on, you'll find it on that website. So if it eventually goes off of YouTube and I have it up on Rumble or something. So anewstandardofcare.com. And then my other one on breast cancer screening, if you don't mind if I plug that,
sure.
Is boobs, boobsdoc.com. And that one is put out by my distributor. And I think they charge like $4 for renting it. So it's pretty inexpensive. And you'll learn a lot about breast cancer screening. And I also talk about that we should be doing ultrasound and thermography instead of mammograms.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Well, anything else before we kind of wrap up here?
I just wanted to leave people with hope. That's why I did this film. I did, you know, I felt like I needed to explain the bad stuff about, you know, conventional and all. I'd kind of take people down before I build them up, build up their hopes in the film. But I did want to leave them for, you know, just because you get a cancer diagnosis, even stage four is not a death sentence. It does not have to be. But yeah. You have to want to live. My sure. husband just gave into it. You have to want to live. And if you do, there's a way out of it. So have hope.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up here, I always ask my guest if they could give us one health tip that would make us healthier today. What would you say to that?
Stop eating McDonald's.
That's a good one.
How's that?
Okay. No, that's great. All right. Well, Miss Megan Smith, certainly appreciate all the work that you did in this film, and appreciate everyone listening. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to FitRx. I invite you to share this with friends and family. If you would like, you can check out our website at vibrantlifedc.com, or you can email me at drgreg@vibrantlifedc.com.